Prophecy is meaning of an inspired utterance of a prophet, a prediction of something to come. And we know that was done in Isaiah and throughout the Old Testament of things that were going to come about. If I want to jump ahead of myself, you can look at Genesis 3:15. That's where, you know, it began as far as in Genesis 3:15. That was the first proclamation from God as far as what was going to take place. And this is when the woman had said that the serpent had deceived me and that I ate. And so the Lord God says to the serpent, and this is Genesis 3:14. And he's beginning in 3:14. He says this, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. So this is telling us is that first proclamation. This is God saying, this is how I'm going to take care of this situation. And so as we look at that, you know, that was something that he spoke back then. And then, like I say, you go through the Old Testament in several books and talks about the coming of the Messiah, coming of Jesus. A hope, as we look at that word, is to cherish a desire with anticipation. You know, don't we all have hopes? You know, we grow up, you know, some of us said, I hope I graduate school. You know, I hope I can get married to the right person. I hope, you know, my family is large. I hope. Hope is a cherished desire with anticipation. To want something to happen or to be true. To expect with confidence. And that's where, as we get into our biblical hope, hope is really tied into that of faith as well. Faith and hope, you know, because we have a hope. We have a hope of the expectation of the coming of the second return of Christ. Amen. That's where we're at in this. But if we would take ourselves back to the point of time, and we shared a little bit in Sunday school in Simeon and how he was told by God, and he was a holy man, and that he would not die until he saw the Savior born. And then he comes to Bethlehem, and he visits in the sanctuary there and does some sharing with the baby Jesus, and shares with Mary and his father. And so that goes on that way. But, you know, the hope that we have now is the hope of the expecting of the return of Christ. And that, if it's not that, the next level is if we die prematurely before he comes back, or we live a long life and we die before he returns, we have the other side of that hope, is that we will see him in heaven anyway. Either way, we're going to see Christ. Amen. Because of our salvation, because of what it was done for us. That way back in Genesis, how God had already put this in works, and this is how it's going to work out, and it's been taken care of. We're going to find this out a little bit later, I hope, as I share some of this. But many times we'll hear someone begin their sentences with, I hope. I hope this happens. I hope that doesn't happen. You know, you name it. We've all been there. Amen? Many of you this past week might have said, well, I hope the turkey's done in time. You know, because we got a lot of people hungry. I hope the pies don't, you know, mess up and all these things. We our life is run on a lot of hope, a lot of anticipation of things, and we will continue to look at that hopefully a little later. What they are telling us is they have a desire. They are anticipating something. They want something to happen. And if it doesn't, they are more likely to be disappointed. We find so many people that just by their speaking, you can pick up on that they have no hope. Has anybody, even this week, heard anybody just by their conversation, it sounded like they were lost. They have no hope. They have, many times, some people have no desire to go on. They've lost that hope. Some people haven't even had hope to begin with. It's been a rough life all through their life. They've been through struggles. They've been through situations. And it just seems like every time they about rise up out of a situation, they seemingly get kicked back down. And so they just live their life thinking like that is what life is all about. You know, I'm just going to be kicked down. I have no hope. Why live to see tomorrow? And so we find that a lot happening in people with taking their lives and things like that. We don't quite understand that. But to think that somebody gets to that level of their thoughts that they feel like there's no purpose to go on and they end their life prematurely, that is someone that was just totally without hope. They were just empty. Maybe it's times of being hurt and things of that nature. There's a lot of things that can lead into that. But a lot of times the people that just don't have hope. But we have that hope. And if we can bring that to the people of today and share that in our families and share that with our crowds of people that we may get with as we go into this season of Christmas and preparation, hopefully we can help them understand this is a blessed time of the year. Now we also know, and many of you know, that it's also a very sorrowful time of year. We have one hand, people are ecstatic, they're hopeful, they're excited, the joy of the season. And then you've got a family sitting over here due to a situation, a possible loss of life, a family member, a loved one, or whatever. And this is not such a joyful time of the year. We've all been through that. If you've had someone in your family pass away, and this is their first Christmas or their first holiday that they've not been with you, it's a pretty sorrowful time, isn't it? It's like that for all of us. I was just thinking, you know, with the passing of my mother-in-law and how her family and their kids and everybody, it's like, you know, so close to the season. Actually, you know, their Thanksgiving with their mother, they didn't realize, but last year back was the one that would be the last one that they would have with her. And by this Thanksgiving, she was gone, you know, just 3 days before that. And so we have all kinds of things in life that affects us, brings us down, and things in life bring us up. Today, in the season we're in, I hope we can fixate on what brings us up and that hope that we have in that of Christ. Amen. That we have that to look forward to. Hopelessness is having no expectation of good or success, incapable of redemption or improvement or accomplishment. They're hopeless out there. But, you know, at one time we were all hopeless. We just didn't know it if we didn't have Christ. We didn't understand the hopelessness. We are enjoying life, and this world was wonderful, and we had fun. But really, in the scheme of things, okay, we were really hopeless, and we didn't realize it because we were Christless. Even though He had come for us, it took us a while maybe to receive Him. It took us a while to understand the plan and the purpose and what God had ordained and put in place for us to receive that as a free gift. Amen. That free gift that He gave us. So many of us here today, our lives have been hopeless, but I hope today, now, we have such a hope in what Christ has done and the hope of His return and just the wonderful things that God has given us. Amen. Today, let's just shout it from the rooftop. We have hope! You know, we can go out of here with our heads lifted up and a spring in our step, and we can be happy and joyful. And even though, yes, sorrow has come, even in our family with the passing of their mother and my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, his wife of 65 years, there was still that celebration because of her life and the hope that she had and the hope that was in her that we all have. And now she's there amongst the heavenlies. Amen. Amen. You know, at the banqueting table. Hallelujah. Look across here. Many of your loved ones and all of our loved ones that have that of Christ in their life, they're not here with you. Guess where they're at? In heaven. In a much better place. They're saying, I feel sorry for you. We're down here boo-hooing because I miss you. And they're going, I feel sorry for you. Wait until you get here, you know. Because it is glorious. It is what Jesus said. It is what He said, that if I do not tell you this, if I don't go to prepare a place, I would not tell you that, you know, that I'm preparing a place for you. I'm preparing a place for my kids. And that's what it was all about. All the way back in the birth of Jesus, you know, as a little baby in swaddling clothes. How can this little baby have so much power and ability? Colossians 1:15. Why is that? Because it is. He's the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. God in the flesh came down for us because of His love for us and to give us that hope that He wants each and every one of us to have. But we're not there yet. You don't need to turn there. We'll get back to Colossians, but they're just coming along. Hope is an extension of faith, or an extension to faith. We can have hope because God had a plan. Amen. God had a plan from the very, very beginning. A plan to redeem his people back to himself. It wasn't an afterthought. It was a plan that started from the beginning, and we've been at the beginning already. Genesis 3:15. It didn't catch God off guard. He had it planned, and it's ready to go. I find that encouraging because some of this, and where I was looking at this past week, it's like, oh, Lord, how's this going to work out? But I was looking in Romans and kind of reading through Romans and got to like 11, and just kind of reading through Romans 11, and talks about Israel's rejection is not total. You know, there'll be some that reject, but not all. And the Gentiles are going to receive him because, you know, if his people aren't going to receive him, God's going to take it outside the realm of the Gentiles the Jews and the Jewish nation, and he's going to say, "Here's my gift for all people, Gentiles included." And so here it goes into us as Gentiles, and then it talks about Israel's rejection is not final. There'll be, you know, some coming back to that. And I get through all of that and reading through all the way to the end, basically. And it goes on and says that, "And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion and will turn away ungodliness from Jacob." And this is Romans 11:26-27. And it's going on and sharing some more. But it wasn't until I got to the very end in 36, I think it is. And it says this, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." The universe, ourselves, our salvation, everything else, all are from God. And they work through his sustaining power. And it's all to bring ultimate glory to who? God. And so when I got to that and I just kept reading it and thinking about it, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." It just reaffirmed within me that God is in control. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't always have to make sense, does it? We see so many things happening in our society of today that a lot of things to us on the surface looks totally out of control and we have no understanding of it. But God is still there in control. Praise God for that. That's part of that hope that I have. Even though I see and I hear tragedies taking place and it's happening every day, it doesn't diminish my hope. How about you? Does it take away? And if it is, then stop it. Don't allow it. Don't listen to the news if it's going to take your hope away. Turn it off. But if you're strong and you can sit and listen to it and say, "Oh my gosh, you know, we all get to the point. How much worse can it get?" It's going to get a lot more worse, but it's not going to take my hope away. Because Jesus is my hope. You know, what he came about is my hope, my faith, my expectation of what's going to take place. And we talked about, okay, of him and through him are all things. In Colossians 1:16, it says this. Well, I'm going to run back to Colossians here. I don't know if there's anything I want to add to it. Colossians 1:16. Whoops. The preeminence of Christ coming into our world. Amen. We're into the Christmas season. Let's prepare to look at that and be aware of that. And we've known that for all of our years as far as being, even before we were actually, you know, coming to Christ, you know, we would hear Bible stories. We had manger sets set up, didn't we? You know, even you know, homes out there that, you know, maybe didn't attend church or go to church a lot, you know, they all set up the manger scene and the baby Jesus and all these things to remind us of the birth of Christ. In 1:13, Colossians 1:13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into what? the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. It ends with this: all things were created through Him and for Him. We look at that image there when it says in 15, created, or He is the image. Image, the Greek word here, means an exact revelation or representation. Jesus also being called the firstborn, a title that refers to His exalted position. Not the timing of His physical birth. Among the Jews, the firstborn son would be especially favored by his parents. He would inherit the leadership of the family and a double portion of the property upon his father's death. Can you imagine that? A double portion of his father's property. Wow. Jesus. Firstborn. God, you know, incarnated into that of a child, into a man, that we can visibly, or people back then anyway, they were visibly seeing God, but they just didn't realize it, did they? And of course, that stirred up a lot of things, and that got people stirred up, and they thought He was blaspheming, and how could He be saying this about God? Well, it was God talking about Himself, but they just didn't understand that. All things were created through Him and for Him. God's plan was to send the mediator, a mediator that being who? Jesus. My hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His righteousness. My hope is built upon that of Christ. No, I wasn't there. Were you there when He was born? Did you see Him in the manger? Did you see Him walk about the earth doing the miracles and seeing the woman at the well? And were you one of His followers day in and day out, hearing Him and following Him? Did He feed you on that Sermon on the Mount? Well, were you at the Sermon on the Mount? Were you there when He fed the 5,000 plus the 5,000 plus and all that? No, I don't think none of us were there. But I read it, and by faith I believe it, and I see it happening. So it's nothing for me to doubt. I don't doubt what the Word of God says that Jesus accomplished. I don't doubt that He was born of a virgin woman. I don't doubt that He is God in the flesh. He's here. He was sent here. And it's through Him now that we have what it said here, that redemption, the mediator. He's mediating for us. Because of what took place back in the garden, we had that separation, but God said they're not going to be separated for long. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to give it an opportunity to come back to me. I'm going to send my only begotten Son, that whoever would believe upon Him will not die and not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful hope to have. And see, we have to look at this life, and as much as we enjoy it, and I enjoy it, and I'm not looking at leaving this place by tomorrow. I hope I'm here for however many more years God will give me, and I hope it's a ton. Because I like where I'm at. I want to serve Him here. I feel let's help You here, God. But when that time comes, it's going to be called home. It's going to be called to glory. So this time here is all what we figured is what? Temporal. Temporary. It's here today, gone tomorrow. And everything that we've got here, you can't take with you. The only thing that we find that will go with us there is, I think, as we stand and God looks over what we have accomplished, and will He be looking at you and saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, come on in. Come in into the rest. Come on in, you know, let's go to the banqueting table. See, as we are in this life, we are serving God. Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Are we thankful today that He thought so much of us, that He wanted to send Jesus to be our mediator, to give us redemption, to take us past or through our sins and out of our sin and cleanse us from that, to bring us back into graces with Him. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have this hope that is spoken of. What does Ephesians 1:18 say? Ephesians 1:18. I'm going to start in 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul, you know, Paul is sharing these things and mentioning us. He's a praying man. He prayed for everybody. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. In the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. And He will put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Wow. Jesus. That little babe. But that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened, that you would know what is that hope of His calling and what are the riches of His glory. Do you realize that you're rich? With Christ in your life, serving Him, receiving Him, honoring Him, doing what you can and asking God to use you and, Lord, you know, build, you know, come fill me with the Holy Spirit. You know, use me, the sanctuary, that we are rich in the things of God? Does it go out and buy a new car? No. Can you take the car to heaven? No. Does it give you satisfaction? A new appliance, a new this, a new that, whatever it might be? Oh, it might give you satisfaction for a week. And pretty soon that's old and gone. We know that happens. Christmas Day, the kids open the presents. They open the presents at 9 o'clock. By 9:05, maybe 9:09, they've put the toy down and they've gone to something else. It's a fleeting thought. It's a fleeting desire. It's a fleeting satisfaction. And our life here is like that if we allow it to. Amen? If you allow that to take hold of you, yes, you won't have time for the things of God. You won't have time to understand that Jesus Christ died for you. You won't understand the hope that you should have, the hope that He has for us. The ability to enlighten us, the ability to shed light on what's going on in this life, what's going on in my life. Where am I at, Lord? How am I going to be used by You in this place? How many people out there have no understanding, maybe have no desire to be used by God? But for you in here today, do you have a desire to be used by God? I'd hope so, because that's why He's placed all of us here, is to use us for a plan and a purpose, like that of Christ that He had planned out in Genesis and why it all came about and what the purpose was and how it was prophesied so many centuries before the birth took place, right down to the town, right down to the manger, right down to how it was going to take place. It's a very, very complete plan. Amen? That prophecy. And that same plan He has for you, in similarities of what His plan and purpose He has for you. We ought to have that hope to know that God, if God be for me, who can be against me? If God has me planned out to do something, do I have to worry that I will accomplish it? Know as long as I stay connected to Him. Know as long as I stay faithful to Him. Know as long as I say, Lord, here I am. Correct me and get me back on that path that I need to be. I want to attain, I want to reach that hope of the calling that you have for me. I'm anticipating it. I'm expecting it. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? And it's going to take constant perseverance. Amen. It's not just a one-day thing and then you got the rest of the days figured out. It's not just I'm going to sacrifice this week to the things of God and then from here on out, I won't have to think about it. It's a day in and day out, living, breathing, walking, sleeping, things of the kingdom. Amen? For that hope of what He has for us. But how exciting it is. How exciting that He enlightened us, that understanding, and that we have that hope of His calling. Another area that we can look at is in Ephesians 2:12, if we're right there. Now here, we're finding that it's by grace through faith, where His workmanship being brought near by the blood. But when we get into the 12, I'm going to look at 2:11, Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without who? Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, all of that saying, what did you have? No hope. That in that time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by what? The blood of Christ. Nothing else is bringing you near to the things of God than that of the blood of Christ. It's not your works, it's not your talent, it's not your money, it's not your scope of things, it's not your notoriety, it's not your socioeconomic level of who, how, what, it's not from your family name. None of those things. It's by strictly what? The blood. The blood of Jesus. The birth of Jesus Christ. He was born to die for you. For all of us that receive Him. But it tells us here that without Him, without God, you have no hope. Having no hope, you have no God. First Peter 1:13. Let's see, is that it? First Peter 1:13. Living before God our Father, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of your job, of Jesus Christ. Rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you recall back in your life when you received Jesus Christ, did you begin to have hope? Did you begin to look at life differently? Did you think that, you know what, I can accomplish this, that, or the other? Did you not feel like, you know, there is something that I'm going to do? There is a plan. There is a purpose. There is something in my life. I'm not just here by accident. When we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's a switch that also goes on, I believe. It builds our faith is there. We get our hope going. And we begin to step out and launch out upon those things. Because it's that hope that we have through that of Jesus Christ. The hope that comes through Him. The hope, because God had that plan for us, we can rest our hope upon the revelation of Jesus. And then 1 Peter, if I just jump to 3:15 really quick here, and then we can wrap this up. Let's see. 1 Peter, 3:15. Being ready with an answer of why do you have that hope? How can you have hope? In all that's taking place in this life, and it's been kind of crazy from the foundation of the world anyway, but you know, we're in this time frame of 2017 and all this taking place. There will be people out there that will say, how can you have such hope when there's so much tragedy and pain and suffering going on? Loss of life. You know, there was that bombing over, was it in Egypt or somewhere? In a temple or something like that, killed 300 and some odd people. You know, the guys that went in there, they were dressed as soldiers or police officers or something like that of that nationality, and they walk into that place of worship, set off a bomb, and killed like over 300 and some odd people. Boom. There in that sanctuary. So we know that this place is sacred. We know that, you know, it's a hallowed place, but, you know, it's God's place. We come and meet here, but, you know, tragedies can be inflicted even in his churches because of the evil that goes on. But I still have a hope. I still don't lose face with God. I still say, but God, I don't understand, but I have hope. And it takes a working to stay in hope. Amen? Because when tragedies take place, it's not easy. I'm not saying, it's very cavalier. You could just say, I've got hope. It takes work. It was just like situations we were talking about staying close to God through life, and so many things takes place, and you know, life is in a fast pace anyway. But then as our family, as you look back in the last month or 25 days less, with all the things we went through and you know, good, bad, happy, joyful, you name it. It was like, it was a roller coaster of emotions, wasn't it, Dean? But God is so good. And even though we're going through these times and we're up and down the highway many a times, those are good times to be with the God, with the Lord, amen? Now, I know when I went down there Sunday, I was by myself last Sunday, I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to turn the radio off and I'm just going to listen for you. Well, I did. I turned it off. It's quiet. And then when you're alone and you're not really hearing things, you're going, turn that radio back on. Okay, devil, you're not going to get me. You know, I thought it was a scheme of the devil to take me out. Like, here, Tim, listen to God. Turn the radio off. Doze off. Hit the ditch. Hit the pillar. Die. Huh. That was the next thought that went in my head. I said, no, I'm not. I turned the radio back on, and I love singing to myself. High, low, you name it, we're going down the road. Singing and everything. Hallelujah. But it's those times we get with God. We laugh. But God has brought, I know, Dean's family through a lot of emotional ups and downs and preparation, yes, finality when it happens, sorrow, it hits, it actually has taken place. No one can prepare and say, I'm going to be stoic and this is going to happen and I know she's going to be in heaven and I'm happy all the time. You're foolish if you think you're not going to shed a tear. And if you don't shed a tear, I'd be kind of wondering about you. Really. Because that's part of her emotional makeup. Yeah, I know where she's at. I'm just sorrowful that we won't be able to see her here. And sorrow brings me like, oh, gosh, Mom, you know? But through all of that, and I shared it in Sunday school, but you can, even though you're busy and being pushed in this life, you can consciously say, but I'm going to still think about God. I'm still going to go through all of this, and yeah, I might have to set him aside for right now because I've got to do this, but I'm going to be quick to get back with him, or I'm going to remember him during these times, and I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to worship him, and I'm going to thank him for all that he's doing and all that he's done. And so, yes, it's been a wonderful time in our family this past few weeks. I don't know. You know, I don't want to share a whole lot, but I just feel the sensing of how you go through tumultuous times. And we've always known God is there, but there's blessings intertwined, even in the sorrow times. And so I came out of Monday picking her up. I got down there Sunday night. She had so many leftover chicken and all that from the fellowship dinner after the funeral. She says, "I do not want to see another fried chicken piece forever." She'd been living on fried chicken. Here's some more chicken. Here's some more chicken, you know, warming up in the microwave in the motel room and all. So he goes, I don't care if we just go to McDonald's. I just want some beef, you know. So we go there anyway. We have that. So that's Sunday night. Then Monday we get up and we get going, and I go and I check out, and she's out in the car, and I hear her talking to somebody and mention a person's name, and I kind of know that person who they're connected with and all. And she gets off the phone and she goes, "I got the job." So what a blessing. She got her new job and actually a promotion in what she's doing, you know. Bless her heart, she interviewed for that like the week before he went to go down and see her mom and dad. You know, she had an interview on that Friday. I don't know what it was. We're just laying in the fog. Tuesday or Wednesday, we're going down the road and all this is happening. And it's almost like God being there for her and all of us. But it was just like that icing on the cake that God says, you've been through a tremendous time, a lot of emotional ups and downs, cleaning out your mom's stuff, talking to see how your dad wasn't doing too well. He wanted to die. He was saying things that you would like, oh my gosh, what's going on? But it seems like now he's kind of kicking in and he's kind of getting past that emotional loss and he's doing better, which is good. But it's just like you come out of that, and it's like, what a way to just leave all the things that happened down in that area to walk and drive back home with a wonderful promotion for her and her job and all that. So God is good. God takes care of you, even through those times that you got so much going on. And if she didn't get the promotion, so what? We just throw it to God all the time anyway, don't we? You know, I'll go apply. I don't know if it's going to happen. They want all this stuff. Oh, my gosh. Well, just turn it all in and just see what happens. You know, do your part and let God do his part, you know. And so how he is a blessing God and a wonderful God. So anyway, God is good, and what a wonderful hope. And we have that hope from the get-go with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and hoping and knowing and anticipating and by faith his return. And so walk out this life today and the days ahead living in that hope. Because hope was born centuries ago in that little cradle or in that little manger to be able to give us even hope today. Amen.